Welcome to another inspirational message courtesy of BibleCities.com. For more teachings like this and other free Christian resources, please visit our website at www.BibleCities.com. Now let's join Reverend Slide Moran as he delivers another powerful teaching from the Word of God.
Hallelujah. We've been talking about authority, and today we want to touch on a subject that, for the most part, the body of Christ is so lacking in knowledge regarding this subject that very often individuals are experiencing for long periods of time situations and circumstances that, although they could be changed, they are not, mainly because the individuals don't understand the authority that we have through the use of our words. And this is what we want to talk about today. Now, before we do that, the best thing for us to do is to go before God, to thank Him for His Word, and to ask Him for wisdom, revelation, and understanding regarding these things. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You so much for the opportunity to come before You, to hear what You would have to say, to hear what You would teach us. We thank You for Your precious Holy Word. You've told us that Your Word is truth. You've told us that everything we need to know, all of the wisdom, all of the knowledge, all of the revelation, anything that we need to know regarding You, regarding the kingdom of God, regarding how we are in You and how You are in us, all of these things can be found in Your Word. So, Father, today I would pray that everyone that hears the sound of my voice, that You would grant unto them wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You, that You would open the eyes of their understanding, flood their hearts with light, Father, that they might see and know You better, that they might understand the hope of Your calling, what the riches of the glory of Your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of Your power towards us who believe. Father, grant unto us today wisdom and revelation. Teach us those things that we need to know, Father. Reveal those things to us by Your Spirit. Open Your Word to us, Father, and make us to understand it so that we can walk in it. You told us, Lord, that if any man lack wisdom, to ask You, and You would give it to us. So today we're asking You for wisdom, supernatural insight into this subject of the authority of our words. Now, Father, we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, and we believe that we receive by faith. Therefore, we thank You, Lord God, that the Word is glorified, that the Word has free course, that no flesh is glorified, but only Jesus is lifted up, Father. And so we thank You and give You all the praise, all the glory, all the credit, now and forever and ever, in Jesus' name. Now, if you'll turn with me to the book of Genesis. In order for us to understand authority and how authority works, we need to understand where the authority comes from. And there is no authority that has not been first granted by God. And in order for us to understand how authority works, especially when we're talking about the authority in the spirit realm, we need to see how things came to be, who God is, how God works, who we are, and what God has granted to us as children of the Most High God, as men. And we can do that by going to the book of Genesis. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, it starts off with this. It says, "In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." In the beginning, God created some things. And it says that the earth was without form and it was void. In other words, it was empty. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now we can look and see and know that God was not satisfied with the way things were in verse 2. Earth was without form and it was void. And there was darkness upon the face of the deep. So God looked at a set of circumstances, looked at a situation, and said, "I'm going to change this. This is not what I want. This set of circumstances, this earth that is void, that is without form, that has no life, and is surrounded by darkness, I'm going to change that. I'm going to make it what I want it to be. Now, we all understand that God has the authority and the power to do that. And so, let's see what he did. Verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Notice that God wanted to change something. He saw a set of circumstances, and by speaking words, things changed. God simply said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, if you'll turn with me very quickly, we can see some more information over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, it says this, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 6 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, God didn't just say something. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, when he said something, he actually commanded it. Do you understand that in order to command something, there has to be some power or authority behind it in order for it to do? And so we see that God didn't just say, let there be light. He actually commanded. In other words, he spoke with authority. He knew that what he said would come to pass. He knew that he had the authority and the power to speak and to change the circumstances. And so he just simply said or commanded, let there be light, and there was light. And now go down a little bit farther on, verse 6, and it says this, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And so God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. How did God create the firmament? According to verse 6, God said it. He commanded it. His words had the authority and the power to bring about change, to actually create things. And so God went ahead, he commanded that there would be light, and he commanded that there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And now look at verse 9. And God said, let the waters under heaven be gathered in together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. How were the waters under heaven gathered together, and how did the dry land appear? By what authority did those things happen? God spoke it. And now look at verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And so the earth brought forth grass, and the earth yielding seed after his kind, and so on. And God saw that it was good. Notice that God wanted the earth to bring forth. And so what did he do? He spoke words. Now again, we know from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, that God isn't just saying some empty words here. He's actually commanding some things. He's decreeing some things. There's some authority behind his words, and he's speaking words that have authority and power behind them, backed up by his own mighty power. And when he speaks words, things happen. Circumstances and situations change and come into conformity with what he is saying or has said. Look at verse 14. And God said, commanded with authority, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let there be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And again, it was so. Verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. How did God do this? He spoke it. He commanded it. His word has authority, and so when he spoke, things came to be. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping thing, beasts of the earth, and so on. And it was so. Notice that in every event here, God said something before anything came into being, before circumstances changed. God didn't just think it. He spoke words, and it was the authority contained in the words that God spoke that brought forth the circumstances and the situations to change and to come into conformity with what he desired. And so now we come to us. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over all the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over all the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. I want you to notice something. All of the verses that we read from chapter 1 all the way down to verse 25, every time something happened, the Word of God tells us in detail what God said. Now let me ask you a question. Why was it necessary for God to spend all that time to show us through 25 verses that God said this, God said that, and it was so, then God said this, and God said that, and it was so, and God said, and God said, and God said. Why not just take a verse or two at the very beginning and say that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so God said, let there be light, let there be a firmament dividing these things. Let all these things be as I desire. And so God created the heavens and the earth as he wished. Why didn't it just say that? When we see things in the Word of God, it's important for us to understand God is showing us principles. He's giving us wisdom and revelation as to how things work in the realm of the Spirit. And do you understand that God has set spiritual laws in motion that cannot be changed because God has said that he is bound by his word. So the way he says things are going to be, even he himself has to abide by them. To do anything other than that would be hypocritical. To do anything other than that would be transgression. And God is not a hypocrite, nor is he a transgressor. He does not break the law. He fulfills it. He keeps it. He is the judge of the law, as a matter of fact. So he's not going to break it. And if he has set spiritual things and spiritual principles in motion, he's going to keep them himself. And so we see in detail that God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said. And he shows us these things for a reason. Then he comes to man. And he says in verse 26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Now there's some keys right here that will open our eyes and bring light and understanding to the authority that men have on planet Earth, granted to them by God. First of all, notice that he tells us in his word that God created men, you and I, not only in his image, but after his likeness. In other words, we're created not only to look like him, but actually to be like him. Not to be him, but to be like him, in his likeness. We're just like him. Well, now, if you look at your human body, and we look around the earth at all of the various ethnic groups and so forth, we can see that we all look very different. But you have to understand something. God is a spirit. And so are you and I. We are spirits. We live in a body. We have a soul. When we leave this planet, we leave our body, but our body is not us. We are spirits. Without the Spirit, the body has no life. Even though there may be artificial machines keeping the blood flowing and the heart beating, there's no life in that body. See, we are spirits. And so when God created men, He created us as spirits. And so that's why the Word of God says He created us in His image. We look like Him. Spirits. We're the progeny of the living God. But more than that, we have been created to be like Him. We're like God in every way. Now, we're not God. But just like your children are like you in every way, they have hands and feet and eyes and they have a mind. They had to grow up just like you did. They have to learn things just like you did. But they can become skilled at things through practice and through work, just like you did and can continue to do. They're just like you. They have the same DNA. They have the same traits and characteristics. And if they've been raised properly in the fear of the Lord, they'll have the same moral values and principles as you do. Well, it's the same thing with us. We've been created to be just like God. Now, just as your children are not you, neither are we God. But we're just like Him. The Word of God tells us that we've been created in His likeness. We're just like Him. And then He goes on to say something else. Let them have dominion. Do you understand what the word dominion means? Dominion means power and authority. It is literally, in the Hebrew, it is the right and the power to govern and to control. To govern and control what? Everything. How do I know that? Because God tells us. Look at verse 26. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth. Do you understand that God gave man dominion, authority, power, the right to govern and control the entire earth? We have authority. That's why when we decide to go and reroute rivers, build huge dams, chop down forests, plant fields, whatever it is we want to do, we can build or we can tear down. The reason why we can do that is because we have the authority to do it. And God doesn't stand in our way. Why? Because He gave us the authority. Do you understand that the Word of God says everything that there is was created by God and for God, and it belongs to Him, but the earth He has given to men. So you understand that the earth has been given to men, and we have authority over the earth. You can go outside if you want into your backyard and chop down a tree. God isn't going to stop you. Why? Because He's given you the authority to do it. On the other hand, you can go outside in your backyard and plant a tree if you want to. And God isn't going to stop you from planting a tree. He's not going to say, hey, listen, I've got enough trees. I think there's too many trees in your yard now. We don't need any more trees. He's not going to stop you from doing that. Why? Because He gave you the authority to do it. So we're looking at the fact that, number one, God created things, changed things, brought things into conformity with what He wanted by His words, and then He created man in His likeness, in His image, and gave man the same authority that he has on earth. Now, if we're created to be like Him, and we have the authority to act just as He did and to change things just as He did, how are we to do that? Well, how did He do it? He did it with His words. Now, obviously, when man was created, we know from the Word of God that God created Adam, placed him in the garden, and Adam had authority over the earth. What most people don't understand is that when Adam sinned, he actually gave up the authority that God had given him and relinquished that authority and that power to Satan. When Adam was created, Adam was under the authority of God. That's why Adam had the authority and the power that he did. He was created having a right relationship with God. He was sinless at the time, walking in relationship with God, in fellowship with God. Hallelujah. And he had dominion and authority because God had given it to him. And he was under the authority of God. As long as he obeyed the commandments of God, he was under the authority of God. But when he disobeyed, he rebelled from that authority. He came out from under God's authority, and he submitted himself to the authority of Satan because he believed the lie. And when he did that, he relinquished his authority to Satan. We get some information here in Luke chapter 4 about this. We know that what's happened is that Jesus has been led into the wilderness by the Holy Ghost to be tempted or tested by the devil, by Satan. And one of those temptations, the devil, in verse 5, takes Jesus up to a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now, it's important to understand this. This is a temptation. The Word of God says it's a temptation. In other words, Jesus was tempted by this. You understand that Jesus was going to the cross, and he knew it. Satan was tempting him and saying, listen, you don't have to go to the cross. You can have all this authority on earth without going to the cross. You don't have to suffer that terrible, excruciatingly painful death. You can have all of this glory if you'll just worship me. Look what he says here. In verse 5, the devil, taking him, that be Jesus, up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power, all this authority, I will give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. And if you will worship me, it'll all be yours. Do you understand that the only reason that this is a temptation is because Jesus knew that all of that power, all of that glory, all of the authority over all the kingdoms of the world actually were in Satan's hands at that time. And Satan could give it to him because he had the right to do it. The reason why it was in Satan's hands is because man had relinquished that authority to Satan when man fell in the garden. But praise God, when Jesus went to the cross and died in our place, taking all our sins upon him, Jesus reclaimed the authority that man had. And he didn't just reclaim it for himself, but he gave it back to men. Turn backwards with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 28. Let's see what Jesus says. Verse 18. Jesus appears to the disciples and he says, all power, that word means authority, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. All power, all authority. How much power and authority? All power, all of it was given to Jesus. When he went to the cross in our place and he died in our place and rose from the dead, and triumphed over the devil, making a show of him openly, defeating him in his own domain, he took back all power and all authority that the devil had deceitfully robbed man of. And it all came back into the hands of Jesus Christ. And then he went ahead and gave it back to us. That word power in this verse, the Greek word is exousia. It denotes absolute, unrestricted authority that has been given or delegated by God. Now, what did he do with it? Turn forward to Luke chapter 9. Look what he did with this power and authority. Hallelujah. Verse 1, he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Praise God. So we know that he gave authority and power to the disciples. We also know that if we keep reading, that he gave the 70 others power and authority as well. And Luke 10:19 says this, behold, I give to you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means to hurt you. We see time and time and time again where Jesus has taken the authority that he has been granted by God, and he is giving it back to men. So we have authority now, as the Word of God in Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions," those are demons and unclean spirits, "and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Let me ask you a question. Can you literally stomp physically on a demon, on an unclean spirit? Well, the answer to that question is no. Those are spiritual things. Well, then how is it then that we can have authority over them if it's not with our words? When he called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all the devils and to cure diseases, what does that mean? Does that mean that we all get together and we go into a backyard pharmacy and we start mixing chemicals together when someone's sick and we go ahead and mix the herbs and portions and then go ahead and with this fabulous potion that we've brewed up and give it to the sick people and cure them that way? Is that what it means? No, it's with our words. The authority that we have in our words, just as it was in the beginning, so it is now. How did Jesus cast devils out? He spoke to them. He told them to leave. When he rebuked the fever that was in the apostles or the disciples' mother, how did he do it? He did it with his words. Amen. How does God exercise his authority? How did he create the universe? According to the Word of God, he did it with his words. And God created man in his likeness. He created us to be just like him. Now, if God changed things and God changed circumstances and situations and brought them into conformity with what he wanted, he didn't want darkness. He didn't want emptiness and void. He wanted a fruitful, abundant earth filled with light. How did he do it? We know from the Word of God, he spoke it. He said things. And we see more and more information in the Word of God about how we're supposed to exercise the authority that has been given to man. And it's important for us to understand that authority has been given to man. And until we understand this, we'll never be able to take our place, our rightful position in God, and exercise that authority on earth as we're supposed to. We need to look at what the Word of God says, believe what the Word of God says, and then do what the Word of God says by faith, believing that what God has said about these things is true, even though we may not like it or understand it completely, even though it may conflict with some doctrines or ideas that we may have previously had. When we put our doctrine and our ideas up against what the Word of God says, we're supposed to change what we believe and bring it into conformity with what God has said. Amen. And we can always find that in the Word of God. Job chapter 22, verse 28. Believe it or not, there are good things in the book of Job. And it's important to understand when we read the book of Job, who is speaking and what is true and what is not. Very often people will quote things out of the book of Job and say, "See, look what it says here. This is the way it's supposed to be." Not understanding that wasn't God speaking. That was someone else speaking, and they were speaking untruth. Do you understand that everything the Bible says is true, but not everything that is said in the Bible is true? Everything the Bible says is true, but not everything that is said in the Bible is true. And a good example of that is when the devil said to Eve, "Go ahead and eat it. Don't worry about it. Eat the fruit. No problem. You'll just have your eyes open and you'll be like God. Go ahead. You'll be fine." You understand that wasn't true. Now, the Bible says it. What it says about the event is true. But what the devil said is not true. And we need to understand those things when we read the Word of God. In Job chapter 22, verse 28, speaking about the authority that man has in his words, it says this, "You shall also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you." When you decree a thing, what is it exactly that you do? You speak words. But it's more than just speaking words. You are actually decreeing what you believe to be true and how things are and how things are going to be. Now, it's important to understand this. When we decree something, we're not just saying something. We are actually stating as fact what we believe to be true. And when we do that, the Word of God says that it will be established unto us. It's like the individual who comes home from work and says, "Honey, there's some rumors at the plant that there's going to be some massive layoffs. And I just know that I'm going to be one of the first ones to get laid off." Now see, that individual has looked at the circumstances and he has allowed the circumstances to determine his future. And he believes not only that there'll be layoffs, but that he's going to be one of the first ones to get laid off. He believes that. And so he goes ahead and speaks it, believing it. Now, it may very well be true that they're going to lay off at the plant, but that doesn't mean he's going to get laid off. But he's already decreed that that is the way that it's going to be. He's already decreed his future. He's already said, "Listen, I believe this is the way it is. I believe this is what's going to happen." And then he speaks it, proclaims it, decrees it, and the Word of God says that when we do that, it will be established unto you. "Well, you know, diabetes runs in my family, and the doctor has said that there's an 80% chance that I'm going to get it. My mother had it, my father had it, my two brothers have it, my sister has it, and I just know I'm going to get it." Well, it's the same thing. See, our words, according to the Word of God, they have the authority to bring these things about. Hello, friends. This is Reverend Slide Moran, and I hope that you've enjoyed the message so far. We'll return to it in just a moment, but before we do, did you know that it's because of the generous offerings from folks just like you that enables us to provide these messages to you and to others all throughout the world for free? Friend, I know that you love God and that you're seeking, just as we are, to spread the gospel. So won't you consider helping us as we continue to fulfill the Lord's command to preach the gospel to all the earth? No offering is too small, and every dollar helps us to reach more and more people. So whether you wish to become a regular partner or just a one-time love offering, I want you to know that every single dollar helps. No amount is too small. You can send your offering online by visiting our partner page. Just go to www.BibleCities.com and click the donate button. You can even send your love offering by mail to Bible Cities Christian Fellowship, P.O. Box 40, Gettysville, New York, 14068 in the USA. Our mailing address can also be found in the BibleCities.com partner section. Just click the link that says donate by check or money order. Thank you for your love and your generosity, and may God richly reward you for your faithful obedience. Now, let's get back to the message. Our words, according to the Word of God, they have the authority to bring these things about. And by decreeing a thing, we actually bring it into being. Just as God created things out of nothing, changed circumstances, changed situations by speaking words because of the authority that's behind him. Well, see, he created us the same way. And even though we may not realize that we're doing it, when we speak that kind of thing, we actually decree it and bring it into being. And then we go ahead and we think, well, maybe it's God's will. Or we think, you know, well, you just never know. That's the way things are. Well, you know, it was the economy. It was this or that. No, it was our words. It was our words that did it. Because our words affect us. Proverbs 18:21 says this, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Do you understand that this is God's word giving us information about the power of the tongue? Well, let me ask you a question. Is your tongue going to come out literally and touch something and bring it to life, or suddenly shoot out like some sword and kill something so that it brings about death? Is that what it means? Of course not. God said that death and life are in the power of the tongue. What does that mean? It means our words. Where is the tongue? It's in our mouth. The tongue helps to form words. So death and life are in the power of words. Now someone would say, well, I don't believe that. Well, really? Have you ever heard of an instance where a judge sentenced someone to death and then decreed the way the individual was going to die? Yeah. You understand that it was the judgment of that individual who was in authority and had the authority to speak those words over an individual that had come under his authority because of the fact that they had broken the law, and so they fell under the authority of the law. The judge was set up into a position to act in accordance with authority by the law to proclaim sentence on an individual convicted in their court. And with their words, they spoke words which actually brought forth the death of that individual. Or at the same time, that judge can turn around and speak life and say, I hereby release you. You're free to go. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. That's the way that it is. That is the law. Do you understand that there is authority in our words? Now, it's not just about that kind of stuff, but our words, the Word of God says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. God has said so. Words have power. Whether we realize it or understand it, we can still act in it. Do you understand that I don't have to believe in gravity to get hurt by it? Just because I don't believe in gravity doesn't mean I'm going to fly off the earth because it's gravity that holds me to the earth. I don't even have to know about gravity. As a matter of fact, there are many people that don't know about gravity, but they don't go flying off the earth just because they don't know about it. And even when you begin to tell them about it, some of these individuals, they won't believe it. They think it's some other mystical thing or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't nullify it. I can say, get up on the top of my roof and say, well, I don't believe in that gravity nonsense and step off. I'll tell you what, I may not believe in it, but I'm going to experience it real quick, and so are you. When you hit the ground, you'll realize that gravity has force. It has power, and it affects you, whether you believe it or not, whether you understand it or not, and whether you like it or not. Well, it's the same thing with our words. We don't have to believe what God has said. God has said, you will decree a thing, and it will be established unto you. God has said that. God has said that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Now, we don't have to believe that. We don't have to know that. We don't have to understand that, but it still works. There is a spiritual law there that is in operation that we are operating in, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not, whether we understand it or not. That word power that is talked about in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, in the Hebrew, it translates out literally as meaning the ability to accomplish or to do something. So the tongue, literally, according to the Word of God, has the ability to accomplish or to do something. We see a little bit more information about this in James chapter 3, verse 10, where it says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. Notice that in the New Testament, God has told us in the Word of God, blessing and cursing come out of the mouth. Blessing and cursing come out of the mouth. So in other words, we have the ability to either speak blessing and have it come to pass, or cursing and have it come to pass. James chapter 3. Starting with verse 1, it says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, for in many things we offend all. But if any man offends not in word, the same is a perfect man, means to be spiritually mature, that word perfect, and able also to bridle the whole body. Notice that there's a principle here. If you can keep your tongue in check, you can keep your whole body in check. Amen. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the great ships, which though they be great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small rudder. And wherever the governor lists, that's where they go. Just like them, the tongue is a little member, but it boasts great things. And behold how great a matter just a little spark kindles. And like that, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And so is the tongue amongst our other members, that it can defile the whole body. And it set on fire the whole course of nature, and it set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and birds and of serpents and things of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But the tongue, who can tame it? It's an unruly evil. It can be full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the likeness of God. And out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Notice that there are things that are being said in this passage All of it is about our words. Notice that first of all, that he that's able to bridle his tongue or keep his tongue in check, saying the right thing, is able also to control his body. Now, some people might say, well, what does that mean? Do you understand that if you have control over your body, then sickness won't? Do you understand that we can give in to sickness and allow sickness to reign in our body? Or we can control the body. And if we can control our words, then we can control the body. The reason why so many people are having trouble receiving the supernatural healing of God that would overpower and take authority over that sickness and cast it out is because of what they say. They pray one thing and speak another. What do you mean? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you heal me. In the name of Jesus, I cast this thing off of me. But then they go about when somebody says, well, how you doing? Oh, I'm sick. Oh, I'm in pain. Oh, the doctor said this. Oh, it's not working, it's not working, it's not working. I'm just getting worse and worse and worse. Do you understand that if you can get your tongue saying the right thing, speaking the right thing, you can bring all that stuff into conformity with what God has said, according to the Word of God. So if we can control our tongue, we can control our body. Let me read that whole passage out of the NIV. Starting in chapter 3, verse 2, it says, we stumble in many ways, but those who are never at fault in what they say are perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Take ships, for example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by just a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person and sets the whole course of one's life on fire. According to the Word of God, what we say can determine our entire future, the entire course of our life. Now, I didn't say this. God said this. Someone says, well, I don't know if I believe that. I didn't say this. God said this. God said that our tongue, the words that come out of our mouth, can actually literally determine the entire course of our future. What we say will come to pass. What we say will be established unto us. What we say will come into being. God has said this. Our words have authority. It's important for us to understand this. The words of our mouth have authority. We can bless or we can curse. We can speak blessing over ourselves, over our family, over our finances, over our body, over our businesses, or we can curse it by saying things. We can proclaim life over ourselves, over our body, over our finances, our children, over our businesses, or we can speak death. We need to decide what it is that we want and then go ahead and bring it into alignment with the Word of God. Why speak cursing when we can speak blessing? We have the choice. Didn't God tell us, this day I set before you life and death, therefore choose life that you may live? Every day we have the opportunity. In every circumstance, in every situation, we have the choice of whether or not we're going to speak life and blessing or death and cursing. And we're not supposed to be looking at the situation and the circumstances. We're supposed to be looking at what God has said. God has promised us great and precious promises, the Word of God says. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says that all of the promises of God are yes in Christ. What does that mean? That means authority has been given back unto us in Him. All of the promises are yes. And so what we need to do is get a hold of those promises and begin to speak the promises of God. And our tongue, our words, have the authority to affect things in the spirit realm, which then affect things in the natural realm. You understand that the Word of God tells us that the things that we see are made from those things that are not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, it's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders retained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Do you understand that God created everything with His words? And He made us like Him. So that the things which are seen were not made by things which appear. What does that mean? What we see was not made from just physical things that are here. The things that were changed in the natural realm were first changed by the spirit realm. You understand that God is a spirit? And when He looked into the natural realm of the earth and saw that the earth was filled with darkness, that it was empty and void, God spoke. Now, He's a spirit. He spoke first in the spirit realm, and that power affected the physical realm. And it's the same thing with us. When we speak words that come from the heart, that come from the spirit, believing what God has said, because Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they're life." When we speak the word of God and put those words, those spirit words, into motion in the spirit realm, they affect the natural realm. Amen. This is what God has said. I know you're understanding some things now, but let me show you how they work. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you," that means truthfully I say to you. You can be certain of this. I'm about to tell you something, and what I'm about to tell you is true. And He said this, "Whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus mean get some rope, get some cord, go ahead and tie something or somebody up? No, that's not what He meant. Well, then how is it that you're going to bind something with your words? And your words have authority. As a matter of fact, He says right here, your words have so much authority that if you bind it in earth, heaven will back it up. It'll be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth with your words, it'll be loosed in heaven. If you want to loose cursing and death into your life, it'll be loosed. Heaven will allow it. Heaven will back it up. On the other hand, if you want to bind it up and keep it from going any farther, the power of heaven will back that up too. In the Greek, when you read this verse where it says, "Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven," that word "bind" means to declare as unlawful, to not permit. So in other words, He said, if you won't permit it, if you'll declare it as unlawful on earth, God will back it up in heaven. It'll be declared unlawful and will not permit it. On the other hand, if you loose it, that means to declare as lawful, to permit it, to allow it. If you permit or allow it, whatever you permit or allow or declare as lawful on earth, it will be permitted, allowed, and declared as lawful in heaven. The power of heaven will back you up. So what do you mean? In other words, if you permit disease to run rampant in your body and you allow it, God will allow it. Well, how do you do that? With your words. "Oh, I'm so sick. I'm weak. I'm going to bed. I don't know what I'm going to do." You know, one of the reasons why people get sick so much is because they call in sick so much. You know, there's many Christians that lie to their employers and they call in sick because they want a day off. Do you understand that that's lying, first of all? Secondly, you're saying you're sick. You know, you stop calling in sick and stop telling people that the reason why you didn't come to work is because you were sick when you really weren't sick. You'll start having a whole lot less sickness. That's the first thing. Oh, that'll straighten out somebody. Amen. You know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 10, it says this, "Banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body." Want me to read it to you again? "Banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body." In the King James, it says, "Remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh." NIV says, "Banish anxiety." Get rid of the worry. Stop worrying. You're supposed to do that. Not supposed to be asking God to, "Oh Lord, make me not worry." No, we're told to remove that. Get rid of it. And then it says, "Cast off the troubles of your body." You understand that your words have the authority to cast it off. And I'll tell you what, not only myself, but my wife and I, we practice that. Something tries to come on us, we just cast it off. "Get off me in the name of Jesus." That doesn't mean we don't experience it. You know, we'll start to experience the symptoms or something like that, and I'll just say, "Oh no, oh no, the Word of God tells me in Matthew 18:18 that whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatever I loose on earth is loose in heaven. Word of God tells me I can cast off the trouble of my body in the name of Jesus. Pain, get off me. Sickness, get off me in Jesus' name. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no authority on me. It's not lawful for you to be on me. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You have no legal right to be in my body. Get off me in Jesus' name. And do you understand that it works every time? Why? Because our words have authority. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Look what Jesus said about your words. Matthew 17, verse 20. This is Jesus speaking to us. Now, when I say us, I mean you and me. You. He's speaking to you. And he said this, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. Mustard seed faith is considered to be very, very little faith. Many people are looking for what they call mountain-moving faith. They think that in order for me to move mountains, I need to have mountain-moving faith. I have to have big faith. I have to have great faith. I have to have this huge faith. And I'm not at that place yet, so I can't do it. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you have faith even as small as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain. Do you understand that where there's faith involved, there's words involved? Because he said, if you have faith, you'll say something. Why? Because words is how your faith is released. Do you understand that to have faith is one thing, but to release that faith is another? I have a car sitting outside in my driveway. But if I don't drive that car, I'm going to have to walk. In order for that car to benefit me, I have to drive the car. I have to activate it. I have to actually get that thing moving. Amen. And it's the same thing with our faith. Having faith and using faith are two different things. You can have faith and never release it. That's why he said your words is what releases your faith. Amen. We'll talk more about this in a minute. But he said this, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, you might be saying, I don't have faith. Well, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you get into the Word of God and start reading the New Testament and start reading what Jesus said and start reading what God said in His Word, your faith will be built. Now, I didn't say go listen to the preacher. I said, get into the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Do you understand that all these scriptures, the reason why I'm reading to you, is because these are faith-building scriptures. They will teach you how these things operate. Faith will be built in you if you'll receive it and believe it, and then you can operate in faith. But it's the Word of God that brings faith. It's not my Word that brings faith. It's God's Word that brings faith. Most people are not operating in the level of faith that they could be operating in because they are negligent when it comes to reading the Word of God. They want somebody else to read it for them or to them. That's not how it works. If you want to operate in a greater degree of faith, then get into the Word of God, get some revelation on these things, and begin to operate in them for yourself. Your faith will be built. It will be expanded. It will be enlarged. And Jesus said this, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain. Notice that Jesus is equating the moving of a mountain with just mustard seed faith. Not mountain moving faith, but mustard seed faith. He says, you'll say to this mountain, remove here to yonder place, and it'll remove. It'll move. Jesus said it. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and you speak to that mountain, whatever that mountain is, it'll move. And it says nothing will be impossible to you. Notice that Jesus said this. Jesus said this. Nothing will be impossible to you. In other words, if you take your faith and put it and release it by your words, nothing will be impossible to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I will go to college. In the name of Jesus Christ, I will graduate from college. In the name of Jesus Christ, I will have more than enough money to take care of all my debts and all my bills. In the name of Jesus Christ, I am not going any farther into debt. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'll never be broke another day in my life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I will live and I will not die. I don't care what the doctor has said. I don't care that it's stage 4 cancer. I don't care. In the name of Jesus Christ, with his stripes, I am healed. I will live and I will not die. This will not kill me. I've been in that place where I've lied there in the hospital and death came into the room and tried to take me. And I started saying, oh no, I'll live and I'll not die. With long life will he satisfy me and give me length of days. My time is not up yet. I will live in the name of Jesus Christ. Get away from me. In the name of Jesus Christ, I will live according to what God has said. You can move those mountains, whatever that mountain is. Maybe it's a financial mountain of debt. Maybe it's a mountain full of sickness and disease that's been afflicting you and your family for years. Maybe it's a mountain that looks impossible to move in order for your business to go forward. It could be anything, but you get your words working. In accordance with what God has said, that mountain will move. Jesus has told us that. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus speaking about the same principle of our words and the authority that we have in our words when we speak them, the disciples came to Jesus, as many people do, and they said, increase our faith. How many of you have ever said, Lord, give me more faith? I just need more faith. In order for me to get this, I just need more faith. And so the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, increase our faith. In other words, we want to operate in these things the way you do. And so in verse 5 of Luke 17, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. I love the way he answered them. He didn't say, well, you know what? You're right. You need more faith. What he said was, you don't need more faith. You just need to use the faith that you already have. Get it working because you're not using it. And look at how he said it. He said this, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this sycamore tree. Notice that when someone has faith, they speak words. Jesus said it. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to the sycamore tree, be plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Do you understand that in order for that thing to obey you, you must have authority? Our words have authority. Jesus said, your words have so much authority that if you have faith and you'll release it, that thing will obey you, whatever it is. Do you understand that whatever's been affecting your body, if you will believe what God has said about your words, if you believe that the thing will obey you, you can speak and it will move. Whatever's been affecting your body, you don't understand that you can take that arthritis in the name of Jesus and you can command that off of your body. And the Word of God says it will obey you. I cannot tell you how many times in my life pain has endeavored to come onto my body. I've just cast it off. I remember an instance where there was a woman whose son was living in the United States of America and had heard about our ministry. His mother came over from India. She had not slept a decent night's sleep in 12 years because she had pain that would run in her neck, down her shoulder, and in her back, and up into her head. And if she laid down, it would just get worse. And so very often, whenever she would go to sleep, she would just wake up because of the pain, and she'd have to sit up. And he heard about our ministry and asked if he could bring his mother over. They'd spent quite a bit of money on doctors. They hadn't been able to help her or anything else. And asked if we would minister to her. I said, sure, bring her on over. So he brought his lovely mother over, didn't speak any English or anything like that. But using a translator, we went ahead and ministered the gospel to her, the good news of the gospel of healing, that Jesus told us that these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak in other tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's out of Mark chapter 16. And so I explained that to her. I said, I'm going to lay my hands on you. And when I do, the power of Jesus is going to flow from me into you, and it is going to completely eradicate whatever's been affecting you, and it's going to remove all that pain, and you will sleep the sleep that you've been looking for so many years, and you'll be completely healed. So we went ahead and ministered to her. Do you know, from that night on, she was healed. Went back to India preaching Jesus. Amen. You see, the Word of God says that you can speak to that thing. I spoke to that affliction when I laid my hands on her and commanded that thing to leave her. And she believed it, and so she received it. Amen. The Word of God is true. Now, we see a great example of how this all comes together and a definite explanation of how it all works in the book of Mark in chapter 11. Now, here's where so many people have missed it. Very often, the concept that we're talking about now has been corrupted, has been misstated, has been misunderstood by so many. And so what we have is we have these terms like name it and claim it, that kind of stuff. Very often misunderstanding and not getting what Jesus said. Now we have to understand something. We're about to read the Word of God. We're about to read what Jesus said about this. This is not something that I'm saying. This is something that God said through His Son in the Word of God. And it's given to us for revelation and for instruction. And if we'll take what God said and do things the way God has said, we will have the results that God said we can have. Now, it doesn't matter what we've heard in the past. It doesn't matter what we've believed in the past. And it doesn't matter what other believe. What matters is what God has said. And so we have this incredible revelation that Christ gives us in the book of Mark, chapter 11. There's been a supernatural event that has happened, and the disciples are amazed by it. And so they pointed it out to Jesus, and Jesus said this, "Have faith in God." What does that mean? In other words, believe what God has said and what He has promised. Have faith in God. Believe it. Remember that God said, "You'll decree a thing and it'll be established unto you. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Blessing and cursing are in the power of the tongue." Jesus cursed a fig tree and it died. Jesus spoke life to Lazarus. He came back to life. And Jesus said, "Have faith in God. Because truthfully I say to you that whoever says even to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things that he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says." Now notice something. Jesus said this, if you speak to the mountain and tell it to do something, and you believe in your heart, and don't doubt, but believe in your heart, that that mountain is going to do what you told it to do, it'll do it. Now there's some keys here. Because very often this is misunderstood and misquoted, and people say that, well, you know, they're just saying that, you know, you can just say whatever you want and you can have it. No, that's not what I said. And I didn't say that because that's not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, well, now you can just say whatever you want and you can have it. And it's important to understand this. It's not just saying it that causes it to be. You must first believe it in your heart that this will happen. Now, that doesn't mean hope it will happen. That means believe it will happen. And the only way we can believe that it will happen is if we believe what God has said about what we say. Very often people try to operate in this and they don't really believe it. Well, in the name of Jesus, I command $1 million to come to me. You can't even believe for $100. You don't believe that, you're just hoping it. No, the Word of God tells us that we must not doubt in our heart, but believe that what we say will happen. Amen. Now, some people can believe. There are ministries that rely on millions of dollars, and it's their faith that does it. And they speak it and call it in. Other ministries are only working in the hundreds or the thousands. Some people can't even work in the fives and the tens. Jesus said, if you'll say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that the things that you say will come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. Now, it's not enough to just believe it. Well, I believe God will heal me. The Word of God says you have to say it. Do you understand that just believing that Jesus is Lord, that doesn't come to pass until you speak it? According to Romans chapter 10, the Word of God says if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Because with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. We have to believe and confess just to get saved. Same thing with these things. Jesus Himself said that our words have authority. I would encourage you to go ahead and take these scriptures. Take Matthew 18:18. Take Matthew 17:20. Take Luke 17:5-6. Take Mark 11:22-24. Take Luke 10:19 and Luke 9:1. Take Matthew 28:18 and Luke 4:6. Genesis 1:1-26. Take Job 22:28 and Proverbs 18:21 and James 3. Read those. Meditate on those. Believe what God has said. Our words have authority. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Blessing and cursing come out of our mouth. Our tongue has the power to set the entire course of our future, according to James chapter 3. Our words can determine our future. Our words can determine whether we live or whether we die. Our words can determine whether or not we are healthy and healed or weak and sick. Do you know that in Joel chapter 3, verse 10, God said this, "Let the weak say that I am strong." Let the weak say, "I am strong." Notice that God didn't say, "Let the weak say, hey, I'm going to bed. I don't feel good. Y'all pray for me." No, he said, "Let the weak say, I am strong." Why? Because God has said, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Be strong in God. Therefore, let the weak say, "I'm strong." Let the sick say, "I'm healed." Let the poor say, "I am well supplied. My God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Jesus said, "If you have faith, you'll say." Our words have authority. That's why Jesus could say that. He knew that when we speak, just as God changed the darkness to light, changed an empty earth to one that was teeming and abundant with life, so can our words change the circumstances and the situations that we encounter, the ones that are prevalent in our life. We can change these things with our words. All we need to do is believe that what God has said about our words is true. And God said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have authority over all the earth. Give them dominion." And just as God created things with his words, just as God changed situations and circumstances with his words, we've been created in his likeness. We're just like him. And he's given us, praise God, thank God, the same authority to change circumstances and situations in our life by simply speaking words filled with faith based on what God has said. And those things, according to Jesus in Mark 11, if we don't doubt in our heart but believe that the things that we say will come to pass, we'll have whatever we say. Meditate on these things. Ask God for more wisdom and revelation. Ask him to teach you these things. Listen to this message over and over again. Get it deep in you and begin to apply it. Begin to operate in it. Watch and see the power of God as it's released through your words spoken in faith based on what God has said. Hallelujah. Let's give thanks to God. Father, we thank you so much. We appreciate you. Lord God, we thank you for your precious promises. We thank you that every word that you have said is true. We thank you, Father God, that we have authority, that we can speak, and those things will come to pass if we just don't doubt in our heart, but believe that the things we say will come to pass. We thank you for these great and precious promises. And Father, we thank you. Giving you all the praise and glory now and forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
We trust that this message has ministered to you. For the rest of this series, as well as other inspirational messages by Reverend Slide Moran, please visit our website at www.biblecities.com.